All right. Praise the Lord on this. I think this is January the 9th, 2022, Lord's Day, Sunday morning. It's just good to be in the house of God after the first of the year. Good to be saved. Good to be just in America, just to be blessed.
Amen.
I know we've been infringed on, but we still got so much to be thankful for. I believe we've got a little bit more time before the bottom falls out of it. They've about built their gallows, about hung themselves. I've always heard you give a fool enough rope and he'll hang himself. And
right.
I've seen quite a bit of that going on. And I believe it's going to end up, they're going to be like Haman, hanging from their own gallows. But we're so thankful to be in the house of God today. We want to ask the Lord's blessings on this Sunday school lesson. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for being so gracious, so good, so merciful, Lord. Lord, we just pray even right now, Lord, you'd bless our efforts. Father, Lord, though being a small church, Lord, we love you in a big way. And Lord, we got great expectations, Lord, that Lord, you'll continue to bless and continue to help us, Lord, that we might keep going and keep growing. Lord, for your glory and praise, we ask it, Lord, bless the efforts of this Sunday school lesson, Lord.
Yes.
Give us, I pray, a heart to understand. Give us ears to hear. Give us, Lord, I pray, Lord, a love for the things of God. Lord, we need these things. We ask for them, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We finished up Romans chapter 4 the last time we met, which was the Sunday after Christmas. That was December the 26th. 2021, and we got flooded out the first Sunday of 2022, and it's coming a flood out there right now, this second Sunday, 2022, but we were able to make it here today, and we're thankful for that, and I did get to see some of that flood, taking my wife to the doctor, and it wasn't pond, it was lakes everywhere I looked.
Yeah.
Roads flooded to the max. But in our last lesson of Romans chapter 4, I want to read a few of those verses before we start in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 4 was about justification by faith illustrated. And I want to just read from verse 20 to the end. It's talking about Abraham, talking about not being weak in faith. Verse 20 said, he staggered not at the promise of God. Now, a lot of people today are going with science, and some people are still going with God.
Right.
And I know the outcome, and you know, I believe it's every individual's right to make their own choice. Even Joshua said, choose you this day whom you'll serve. But he said, as for me and my house, he said, we're going to serve the Lord.
Amen.
And Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. So if you do decide to go with God, and you know, even if it don't work out, you're going to give glory to God. I'd rather die in faith than believe a lie, and you know what, reap that the consequences of that lie.
Amen.
And I think this is a day you better be careful what you consent to. You better be careful who you go to. You better be careful even what church you go to.
Yes.
And I will be speaking about that a little bit later in the service today. But he gave glory to God because he staggered not at the promise of God. We can do the same thing. You know, we've got all the promises of God here in the Word of God.
Yeah.
The Bible says in the book of Peter, given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. We got all the promises of God, and they're to us, for they were given to us. And verse 22 said, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone, but it was imputed to him. Verse 24, but for us also. If God hadn't wrote that down, we'd never even known about it. But so we could know about it, it was written down so that we could partake and see not only the faithfulness of Abraham, But we can see the blessing that God put upon Abraham because of that faithfulness. Verse 24 says, "For us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on Him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead." Mm. Verse 25 is a good verse. "Who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification." If Jesus didn't raise from the dead, it wasn't a completed work. The gospel, which is mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, talks about that He died for our sins according to the Scriptures.
Yes.
I mean, it wasn't just the death. Paul said He died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And verse 3, "And He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." It was according to the Scriptures that Jesus died, and it was according to the Scriptures that He was risen from the dead. And He was seen of several after He rose from the dead. And they confirmed it, said they was eyewitnesses of His majesty. Uh-huh. So for us also, it was written so that we could know and have the faith like Abraham to believe God that staggered not at the promises of God. Now we're in Romans chapter 5, and in this chapter, seven results of justification are mentioned. Verse 1, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God."
Yeah.
I didn't have no peace till I got saved.
That's right.
And after I got saved, I could be a peace donor now.
Amen.
I mean, the Bible says, I believe it's Isaiah chapter 48, last verse, "There's no peace, saith my God, to the wicked." I was wicked. I had no peace because I was wicked. But now, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. I have peace with God. I'm not running from God no more. I'm walking with God. And the reason I was running from God, because I didn't have no peace with God.
That's right.
And through our Lord Jesus Christ now, I've got peace with God. That's one of the results of justification. "By whom also we have access to God by faith, into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." You see, I was an alien from the commonwealth of Israel. I was a stranger, but now I've been brought into the fellowship, into the family of God. Now I have access to God. That's another justification of being saved. And you know, I thank God for that access. I like to pray.
Yeah, that's right.
And the Bible mentions, I believe it's in John chapter 8, that God heareth not sinners. Mm. There's a lot of people that pray.
Yeah, come on.
And their prayer don't get through, and they wonder why God won't grant their request. Let me say this real quick about prayer. First of all, you need to be saved.
Yeah. Right.
Then you have access to God.
Yeah.
And even with access to God, you need to pray like our Savior said, "Nevertheless, not my will,
That's right.
Thy will be done." The Bible said we know that we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Now, you can pray out of the will of God and you can hope all you want, but you be glad one day that God didn't grant that to you, because His will toward you is good, and He won't withhold any good thing from you. There's been a few things that I prayed for that I thank God that He didn't grant, because I didn't have enough sense to know better not to pray for them. Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Now, looking back on that, I can see it, but at the time, I thought I needed it. I'm glad I didn't get it. Amen.
Yeah.
Some of you ought to say amen that God didn't grant to you some of the things. And you know, Paul, at least he's an honest man. He said in ignorance, he sinned, and he said he found mercy. But a lot of people pray ignorantly. They don't pray the kind of prayer that God will grant. They pray prayers like, you know, selfish prayers. They pray prayers, you know, to have advantage over their enemies and everything else. Look, all of that, God's already said He'd take care of that. He gave us, you know, power over devils. He gave us the advantage over the adversary when He said, "Greater is He that's in you, He that's in the world." But some things we don't even need to pray about. We've already got them. And, you know, I'm sure God in heaven wonders if we're ever going to grow up to the stature of the knowledge of things of God and of the will of God and things like that. But here's two things I already mentioned about results of justification. Got peace with God, got access to God. Verse 3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulation also. Mm-hmm. Now, Christians need to understand this. Jesus said in the world we would have tribulation. So just understand right up front, this ain't heaven. There's a devil down here. He hates you.
Yeah.
He Jesus told Peter, he said, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. So put your armor on. And I'm telling you, get prepared, because the devil's not going to go away. But in the world, we're going to have tribulation. Verse 3 says, not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Now, one thing about patience, the only way to get patience is to wait for it. It's not something that you can say, I want it now.
Right.
You know, at J.C. Wentworth, it's my money and I want it now. It's not, patience is not like that. Patience is something that you have to wait for. And verse 4 says, and patience, experience. When you do wait for something, you learn something about it.
That's right.
That experience, you know, I'll be 68 years old next month. And I'm a whole lot more experienced than I was when I was 6 or 8 years old. Back when I thought I knew everything and didn't even realize how little I did know about anything. But the children, they don't understand experience. I drove my granddaughter to work Friday, I believe. And she said, Pop, I can make it. I said, I know you can, but I said, I want you to go with me. I want to show you a few things. I showed her how to tap your brakes. Our road was solid ice. I showed her how to tap your brakes. I showed her how to slow down going down a hill. And all of that experience. But also in the things of God, there's a lot of experience that you learn also through tribulation. You learn some places not to go no more.
Right.
You learn some things not to do no more. And it's through that tribulation that you get that experience. I went a lot of places I really, looking back on, wished I hadn't even went. It's discouraging.
Yeah.
You know, it really didn't defeat me, but it did discourage me a little bit, because they mocked God and ridiculed and made light of the Word of God and stuff like that. And you know, I learned, you know, that they needed prayer, they needed the Word of God, they needed to be saved. But you don't get that experience until you go to where that tribulation is.
Right.
Some places ain't for the faint hearted. I was up on the streets of Columbus, Ohio, street preaching, and they told me to stay right there. They said, don't wander off. You know, I'm from Glasgow. And the streets of Glasgow are pretty peaceable. Big Eddie Wade wandered off, and I ended up back in a back alley. And I'm back there preaching just like always. I mean, I'm thundering out, repent, repent, get saved. And you know, I turned around, and here's a guy standing there, big as a door. And he wasn't alone, had about 6 more with him. They all had these little old knitted hats on. I guess they were Muslim. I didn't ask them. But they had these little old knitted things on top of their head. And they looked at me like, if I would just say it like this, if looks could kill, I'd already be a dead man. And I realized, you know, I should have listened to them guys told me.
Yeah.
Stay there. Jimmy Hood, he lived up there. He wanted us to go out on the streets with him, and I wanted to. And I realized I wished I'd listened to Jimmy. But these guys circled around me, and I'm going to guess they were a neighborhood of 300 pounds each. They're pretty good-sized boys. And I'm not trying to be racist here, but they were all black. And they were circling in on me with a King James Bible, preaching the Word of God. And you know what? As they closed in on me, there was a young black girl broke the line and somehow made it through them to me, walked up to me, and she said, "Preacher, do you have any tracks?" And I said, "Yes, I had a whole pocket full of them." She said, "Can I have them?" I said, "Yes." I gave her all that I had. And she went over there to them men, and she had to be heaven sent. She had to be an angel from God. I mean, you can only be as dumb as I am, get away with it like I did that day. But she told them men, and she was beautiful. She said, "Y'all get over there and you sit down." And like, you know, like a mother scolding children, they went over and sat down. She gave every one of them gospel tracts. She sat down there with them. She said, "Now preach, preacher." And she told them boys, "You need to hear what this man's got to say." And I have to admit, man, it's like saying sick him to a dog. But I do believe if that young girl hadn't showed up, Eddie Wade would have looked a little different today if he'd survived that ordeal. But a tribulation works of patience, and patience works experience, and experience works hope. And verse 5 says, "And hope maketh not ashamed." I wasn't ashamed of preaching that day. I was ashamed of not listening. Jimmy gave me good advice. He's seasoned, much older than me, and he preaches on the streets of Columbus, Ohio. Well, he's done graduated this life, but he had a rescue mission up there, and a very fruitful rescue mission. And he doesn't stop sometimes, go back there and break a fight up. Then he just go right back to preaching. He told them boys, he said, "Y'all behave, and we'll get you something to eat after the service." And they hadn't eaten anything. And they stunk. And he still loved them, still tried to minister to them.
Yeah.
And sometimes he'd be holding one in a headlock while he's preaching. And if need be, he'd put one of them in there. I'm down, it's a little different up in Columbus, Ohio than down here in Glasgow, Kentucky. But hope maketh not ashamed. I should have listened to it. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. You know, I wouldn't have went up there before I got saved.
No, that's right.
I wouldn't have been preaching on the courthouse up here in Glasgow, Kentucky for 10 years if I hadn't got saved.
Uh-uh.
That love of God shed abroad upon our heart compels us to go out to sinners and compel them to get saved and compel them to come into the house of God. But I'll tell you what, it gives you a lot of experience soul winning. He that winneth souls, the Bible said, is wise. They that go forth weeping shall doubtless return rejoicing, bringing their sheaves with them. There's a lot of experience that's needed to win someone to God, to know enough Bible, to be able to show someone how they can be forgiven of their sin, how they can be saved by the grace of God. But verse 5 mentions, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given in us. I didn't have that till I got saved.
Right.
Verse 6 says, "For we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." He died for me when I was a sinner. He didn't die for the righteous. He said, "They that be whole need not a physician." He died for me when I was a sinner.
Yes.
And it gives more to that. Verse 7, "For scarcely for a righteous man's will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die." Some people have given their lives, a lot of mothers have, for the sake of someone else being able to live. A lot of mothers have died giving childbirth. A lot of fathers have died trying to fend their home from an intruder. And a lot of other people have died, you know, just because they cared enough about somebody they wanted them to live. They gave their life on their behalf. I think about veterans that have laid down their lives,
yes, Lord,
so we could have freedom in this country, because freedom don't come cheap. Now they're being mocked, living on the streets.
Yeah.
But boy, we sure don't have no problem at all opening up the borders to illegals and giving them everything under the sun. Why is there no regard to our veterans? That's all I want to know. And I'm going to be preaching about that today.
Thank
you. Put your seatbelt on today. It's going to be a little rough here today. But for a good man, some would even dare to die. And let me say, Freedom, Patrick Henry said, give me liberty,
or give me death.
Some things are worth giving your life for.
Yeah, that's right.
Verse 8, but God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And that's something to take in. Here I am, a hell-deserving sinner, and yet God, through his love, God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Yeah.
Verse 9, much more then, being now justified by his blood, and that is how I'm justified, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Now, I know everybody, you know, they don't want that name Jesus. They want to try to somehow figure out another way, and all roads lead to heaven. You can throw all of that out the back door, because it ain't nothing but a bunch of lies. Jesus said, John 10:9, he said, I am the door. Any man enter in, he shall be saved. You're not going to get to heaven no way but by Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The Bible says in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, no other name is given under heaven whereby we must be saved. No other name. No other door. Jesus said to Thomas in John 14, verse 6, he said, I am the way.
That's right.
The truth and the life. Listen to this. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So if someone tries to tell you another way, Paul said if they come with another gospel, he said though an angel from heaven even come with another gospel, he said let them be cursed.
Right.
I'm just telling you the gospel is this, that God commended his love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. There's no other way to get to heaven except through him. Verse 9, much more than being now. Do you notice that? Now? Now justified by his blood. Yeah. I'm not trying to earn nothing. It was a gift of God.
Amen, that's right.
There's nothing I can do to add to it. Nothing I can do to take away from it. Nothing I can do except accept what God gave. God gave his son. And it says, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him.
Yes.
Now these other people, I'm not going to shoot them. I'm not going to, speak against them or nothing. But they got the wrath of God to look forward to.
That's right.
Hey, listen, I'll just tell you right now, I'd rather have mercy over wrath any day of the week. The Bible tells me that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, that I've not been appointed unto wrath, but obtained salvation through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. These that are trying to go another way, these that think they're the only way, they're going to find out about the wrath. It's just come to my mind. I guess I need to go read it. Verse St. John chapter 3, verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Help yourself. I'm going the grace way.
Amen.
I'm going the mercy way. I'm not going to try to go the wrath way. And another thing about the wrath of God, I know everybody thinks, that God's like them and it's going to be all right. No matter what, God's love and all of that. Well, in Revelation chapter 6, verse 15, and the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bond man and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?
Yeah.
Hey, I thank God that not only I've been now justified by his blood, but I've also been saved from wrath through him. well, it's just going to keep on going, I guess. I'm going to let the Lord dictate what's said here this morning, I guess.
That's right. Blessing God.
In 1 John chapter 5, verse 12, he that hath the Son, and I do, hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. That's clear enough.
Right.
We shall be saved from wrath through him. I've got peace with God through my Savior.
Amen.
I'll tell you, I got hope. I got access. And I got salvation. I got justification. Verse 10, for if when we were enemies, and I was, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. You know, Jesus died for my sins, but He rose for my justification.
Right.
And hey, He is my salvation.
Yes.
I mean, you can spell salvation J-E-S-U-S if you want to. Because that is what salvation is. It's Jesus that took on Himself the sins of the whole world, took it to Calvary, nailed it to His cross, paid the payment, took it to the grave and rose again with the keys of death and hell, rose for my justification, died for my sins. Check this next verse out, verse 11. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now, there's that word now again, now, present tense, received the atonement. You know, I've already been saved. I'm now rejoicing because I have received. I'm now saved. I'm not looking to be saved. I'm being now already saved by the works, the finished works of Calvary.
Right.
I like that. We have now received the atonement. You know, some people, they put a lot of emphasis on works. The Bible says, man, in his best states altogether vanity. It says, Titus 3:5, I believe it is, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy and grace, He saved us. By the washing regeneration of the Holy Ghost of God. I'm just telling you, I'm now saved. I'm now rejoicing because I've now already received the atonement. Verse 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world. You know, sin wasn't into the world except by man. Man couldn't keep one commandment. Man couldn't be faithful over this one thing. And that's been the problem all along. It's been man. Jesus, made in likeness of man, but He was God manifested in the flesh, come down here to correct the mistakes of man. But by one man, sin entered into the world. Can you imagine having a world with no sin? The streets of Chicago would be safe, I can tell you that right off the bat. We wouldn't have the idiots we got up there in New York and... in Washington. But by one man sinned into the world and death by sin. Romans 6:23, which we're pretty close to that, it says the wages of sin is death. That one man brought death in the world, brought sin in the world, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. I've met people that think they don't sin. My wife, she told me one day, she said, I'm not like you, I don't sin.
Yeah.
And I told her, I said, young lady, you need to read a little more Bible. And she wasn't on board to do that. So I read it to her so she'd get it. It says, if we say we have no sin, I'm in 1 John chapter 1, verse 8.
Mm-hmm.
She said, I ain't like you, I don't sin. And it says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
Amen.
If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, We make him a liar. I think the Bible says, let God be true and every man be a liar.
Right.
And his word's not in us. I've read that to her and it didn't make her day. But you know what? All have sinned.
Mm-hmm.
Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there's some people think they can walk on water. There's some people don't think they need to be forgiven of nothing. They just need to read a little bit more Bible. Because by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and death has passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Romans 5:12. That'll be good enough. Verse 13. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Now, innocence is one thing that excludes the penalty of sin. A child, until it knows that it has sinned, is not guilty of sin. It has innocence. Adam and Eve were innocent until they partook of that fruit that God told them not to eat of.
Right.
That sin entered the world by that disobedience. And as soon as they ate that fruit, their eyes were opened and they knew they were naked. There comes a time, and it's not a certain age. There comes a certain time that a child knows it's doing wrong.
Right.
And when it goes ahead and does it, then it becomes guilty of sin. And this verse here brings that out. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Now God gave the law, and the law, Paul said, was his schoolmaster to bring into Jesus. And a lot of people need that schoolmaster. They need to go back to school and learn, for one thing, that they've sinned. Learn another thing, they need to be saved. Because if they die in their sin, no hope, no help, only hell. But innocence, someone that's retarded, they can't get lost. They can't get saved. They don't have the being to know. They don't have the faculty to understand.
That's right.
But there was a day when Eddie Wade knew he'd sinned.
Mm-hmm.
There was a day when Eddie Wade knew he needed to be saved.
Yeah.
But that day didn't come to April 27th, 1988, and Eddie Wade got saved. And I'm glad that God allowed me that space to repent. That he mentioned about Jezebel, he said, I gave her space to repent. Thank God for that space God gave me. I was 34 years old when I got saved. This year, I'll be 68 next month. But April 27th this year, I will be saved 34 years as well as I was 34 years old when I got saved. I'm looking forward to balancing the books on that. Amen. This will be my year that I'll rejoice on having lived for God more than I did for sin, self, and Satan. Amen.
You know, but, by the way, that,
yeah.
You was talking about a handicap.
Yeah.
I worked with handicapped kids at school.
Yeah.
But they know when they do wrong.
Some do.
Some.
I met one, all they could do was look at the ceiling. They couldn't even communicate.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm talking about. You know, severely handicapped people.
Yeah.
That don't have intellect. They're spared because by the law is the knowledge of sin. They don't know the law. So they're innocent. But if you know that law, I mean, just take for instance, we got all this looting, you know, what do they call it, break and loot or bust and loot, whatever. You see that old verse says, thou shalt not steal? They know better. But now you can get away with the law, man. Matter of fact, we got a district attorney right now. I'm glad that's a good place to put this in here. We got a district attorney right now. His name's Alvin Bragg. And he's the new district attorney of Manhattan. And he said fairness is needed when it comes to stealing and breaking the laws. And, you know, he wants fairness. And he said the good book says, you know, we need to love one another. Well, I'll tell you right now, buddy, God loved me enough to put up with me 34 years. But if I hadn't got saved, I don't believe I'd be here today, man.
No,
anyway, as he's trying to somehow sugarcoat breaking the law, I mean, what's the use of having a law if it's not enforced?
Right.
That law right there is enforced. And people better take heed to that law right there. I know America's kind of fell from its steadfastness. America used to walk with God.
Yeah.
The Bible said in Psalm chapter 9, verse 17, that the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. You look on the news, and all you see is fire, floods, and pandemics, and mandates, and everything under the sun. And you wonder why it's going on? All the nations that forget God shall be turned into hell. I pray like this right here, Lord. Help God get, Lord God, help America get back in fellowship with God.
Yeah.
Help it get back to walking with God. It may not happen, but I'm still going to pray that it does. And
we need revival, don't we, brother?
Well, we need a personal revival, and then we need a national revival. We do. But I think the churches need overhaul. They need to get back to this word.
Yeah. That's right.
Let me spend just a minute right here. There's not many words. There's one. Yeah.
That's right.
This right here, King James 16:11.
Yeah, that's right.
It doesn't have a copyright on it. Mm-hmm. I can print them myself if I want to.
Yeah.
It's got zero additions. It's got zero omissions. Now, this book right here, if you didn't have this, you'd have an excuse. But having this, you don't have an excuse. Now, you can reject it or you can receive it. You can fall on it and get saved, and one day it's going to fall on you and grind you to powder. But I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to be without excuse. If you deny this book,
Amen. If
you deny the blood, without shedding the blood, no remission, you're still in your sin. We just read right there about being justified by His blood there in verse number 9. If you don't have the blood applied, you're not going to get passed over.
That's right.
Oh, I thank God for my Passover lamb, Brother Donnie.
Amen.
I'm glad, a blood donor saved my life, but I'm glad that He was willing to allow His blood to be shed so that I could get forgiveness for my sins. That God could look down at the suffering of His blessed Son and say, I accept that.
Yeah.
There's no more need for sacrifice. It's enough.
Yeah.
He was satisfied.
Amen.
Isaiah chapter 53, the Bible says God saw the travail of His soul and He was satisfied and He was pleased. No more need for killing lambs. No more need for slaughtering bulls or cows. He was satisfied with the sacrifice of Calvary. But sin is not imputed when there's no law. You ever think about why they took that Ten Commandments out of the classroom? I know it's by one woman, Madam O'Hara. She's an atheist. She's going to have her way. We got the ACLU, They want to make all the rights wrong and want to somehow bend the law. Try to somehow have rights for everybody. Some things just ain't right. Some things are wrong. That right there, them little Ten Commandments tells you what's right and what's wrong. And if they left anything out, this right here will cover the rest of it.
Yeah.
But them right there is enough right there. Just those Ten Commandments is enough to tell a little boy or a little girl the difference between right and wrong. They took them out of the classroom. But what they put in there bothers me more than taking them out of the classroom. What they put in there bothers me that they don't even know what gender they are now. And now they're trying to make some kind of difference about the color of somebody's skin. And, critical race theory and some kind of, I'm going to watch my mouth here. Some kind of, I was going to say almost a slang word here, about rewriting the history of America. You know what we need to do? We just need to get back to just teaching reading, writing, and arithmetic. Teach these children something they need in life. Get the indoctrination and the politics out of our classrooms. Hey, I'm telling you, I'm concerned about how our children are being taught today.
That's right.
I'm not going to be around forever. But when we're gone, I'm worried. I'm concerned about how it's going to be when we're gone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've been around long enough, or most of us have, to know back when it was right in America. We know also that it's wrong in America. What's going to happen when we're gone? Every man's going to do that which is right in his own eyes. I know that. But we got to somehow pass the torch to this next generation. I thank God for church. I thank God for the Word of God. And it says, nevertheless, verse 14, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. Now Adam has a lot to do with Jesus. Adam was the first. He's the first Adam. Jesus is the second Adam. And Adam was a figure of him to come. At one man, sin entered in the world, and by one man, sin got conquered at Calvary. So there's a lot to do with Adam and Jesus. But do you notice this? Death reigned from Adam to Moses. You know why it changed there with Moses? The Passover lamb.
Yeah, that's right.
That blood, which pictured Christ,
yeah,
put on both sides and at the top of the door.
That's right.
And God said, when I see the
blood, amen,
I'll pass over.
Yes, Lord.
And those that had enough sense put the blood on the door lived.
Mm-hmm.
And those that didn't have any regard to that statement, they were in denial of God and the Word of God. There wasn't a single house that wasn't one dead in.
That's right.
But all that had the blood on the door, there was not any death at all. Mm. Verse 15, not as the offense, so also is the free gift. And it didn't cost me a penny.
Amen.
I couldn't pay it. That's why it had to be a free gift. I couldn't even make a down payment on it.
Uh-uh.
I couldn't borrow that much money. I'm telling you, it was a free gift. For through the offense of one, which is talking about Adam, many be dead, and I used to be dead in trespasses and sin, much more the grace of God, and the gift by grace, which by one man, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, have abounded unto many. And I am one of the many. Not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift, for judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. Now, buddy, I thank God for Calvary.
Yeah.
I thank God for the blood. I thank God for grace. I thank God for mercy. That free gift is of many offenses unto justification, because I couldn't help myself. I had to have help.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 17, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, and it gives his name, Jesus Christ.
Right.
I was not just pardoned, Carolyn, I was abundantly pardoned.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Verse 18, therefore as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. I couldn't get it at Walmart. I couldn't order it from Amazon. I'm telling you, I had to go to Calvary.
That's right.
Call upon Him. It's rich in mercy. I ought to call upon Him. Verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, and I was a sinner before I got saved.
Mm-hmm.
So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. He took my place, paid my sin debt, took it all the way, not only to the grave, but got back up and walked again. And many arose for my justification, died for my sins, and He made me righteous. Amen. Verse 20, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. I'm not perfect now, but I do pray to be forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about y'all, but I've sinned since I got saved.
Sure.
And I'm glad that the Holy Spirit of God works. I remember my heart smoting me when I sinned. I remember, like David in Psalms 51, couldn't wait to find a place to tell God. And I want to read that real quick. I'm looking at the clock back there. We're just going to take time. But when you do sin, here's what you do about it. David here made it abundantly clear. In Psalms 51, he said, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou might be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest." He says here, "I have sinned." He said, "Purge me," verse 7, "with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow."
Yes.
"Hide thy face from my sins," verse 9. "Blot out all mine iniquities," verse 10. "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." I just tell you, when you have sin, run to God, not from God.
Amen.
Don't stay out of church.
That's right.
Don't go into hiding. Come and say, "I need to talk to you, Lord. I'm sorry."
Yeah.
Jesus said, "He that cometh unto me," in John 6:37, he said, "I'll no wise turn away."
Amen. Amen.
Oh, I don't know about y'all, but I've spent a lot of time, even since I've been saved, telling God I'm sorry.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
This old flesh, it's weak.
Yes, brother. Yes.
He just ain't able to make it without God's help.
Amen.
That's right.
And
that's right.
I failed miserably many times. Let's see, where was we? Oh, verse 20. "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." Always found grace.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I never did have to work too hard at getting forgiven. I might have had to work hard to get down to a place to where I could ask God to forgive me, but I didn't have no problem at all getting through, Carolyn. Verse 21. "That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." That's our last verse. We'll stop right there. But I want to tell you today, a lot of churches, they put salvation out of reach.
Yes.
They say you got to endure the end to be saved. That's tribulation. That is true, tribulation. They say, you know, you need to do penance. You need to do this. You need to do that. I'll tell you exactly what you need to do. You just need to say, "I'm sorry."
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not saved, you need to ask the Lord to forgive you. Ask the Lord to save you. You need to believe Him to save you. And you'll find out He's not hard to find at all.
Right.
Oh, He's not even very far from any one of us. All you got to do is fill after Him. He's closer than you realize.
Amen.
Sticks closer than a brother.
Whosoever, brother.
I didn't have to call long distance to get the Lord. April 27, 1988.
No.
He was waiting on old Eddie Wade.
Yeah, boy.
Oh, worthless,
yeah,
hell deserving, drunk,
yes, Lord,
sinner.
You're one of those whosoever brothers.
I'll tell you, I thank God for mercy. I thank God for compassion, for forgiveness, for salvation. It was so wonderful to kneel down there as guilty could be. So wonderful. Have the peace of God take its place.
Mm-hmm.
So wonderful to go from being condemned to being justified. So wonderful it was, I went and looked in the mirror. I guess I thought I was going to have a halo. I don't know. I couldn't see any difference in the mirror, but it was definitely different.
Yeah.
I went to church at Bethel Baptist Church to tell them I got saved. I opened up the door and they said, "You got saved, didn't you?" I said, "How'd you know?" He said, "Just to look."
Yeah.
You're not condemned no more. I didn't have that countenance of guilty.
Yeah.
I had that countenance of redeemed, forgiven, saved. Man, I've still got it. I'm so thankful. I kind of wish I could go through it again.
Yeah.
It's so wonderful to be saved. No wonder the psalmist said in Psalm chapter 8, verse 34, I believe it is. I believe that's right. Says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And I did taste that day, and it was good.
Amen.
And I've been supping with the Lord ever since that day, and it's still good. I'll tell you right now, I pull up this table any time of the day. It's always good. It's always wonderful. Spend time with the Lord. You know, we'll stop right there.
Like you said, you know, of course, when I got saved, you know, I thought, never been a church heart in my life, you know, and I expected God to be patting me on her shoulders. I expected thunder and lightning. I expected everything. But I had more peace than I've ever had in my life. I couldn't explain the peace I had.
You know, the best illustration of what Donnie just talked about right there is when the disciples out there in the sea, and the waves is roaring, the wind's blowing,
right.
And Jesus said, "Peace be still," and there was a great calm.
Yes.
That's pretty much it.
Amen.
I've had a great calm for 34 years now, and I didn't get that nowhere but from Jesus. And those people that want to try to go some other way, they just don't know what they're missing out on. It's so good to be saved.
Amen.
We'll stop right there. Father, we thank you for this lesson today.
Lord, thank you.
Been very encouraging, Lord. Just remember and be reminded of what you've done for us, Lord. Pray your blessing upon, Lord, our efforts here today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.